Well, good morning. Thank you very much for having me here today. It's great to be with you guys. You guys, as a church, not sure if you know this, have been supporting Joanne and I really since the early stages of this church. When you guys were just getting started, we were some of the first missionaries you got behind. So thank you very much for many years of partnership and encouragement and resourcing for us. So just a quick question here. How many golfers in the house today? Any golfers out here? Few, see there kind of hesitantly. I think I figured out the golfers are actually not here. They're out golfing today, so that would make sense. I'm not a good golfer. Okay, let's just put that right out there. Not a good golfer at all. My dad tried to get me into golfing as a kid, and he would take me out to the driving range or to the odd, you know, round of golf, but I never really took to it, never really loved it. I happened to marry into a golfing family. My wife, her brothers, her family, they love golf, and so before we were getting married, the day before our wedding, the two families went out for a round of golf. Now, this is the first time I had actually met some of my in-laws, so I was pretty nervous. So on the first hole, I go up for my shot, and I hit an opening drive that basically does this, a nosedive into a rock about 30 yards out, flies in the air about 50 yards in the air, and lands over on the 18th green. I was completely humiliated, too embarrassed to pick up my ball. My future brother-in-law went and grabbed that, and he was laughing the rest of the round. So let's just get it out there. I'm not a good golfer, all right? Now, shortly after we got married, my father-in-law, trying to encourage my golf game, actually bought me a set of clubs. Incredible gift. Beautiful set of clubs. But today, those clubs rest comfortably in our basement, having been used maybe a couple of dozen times over the last 30 years. Now, people say that golf can be a social game. Not when I'm playing, because I'm spending most of my time in the woods trying to find that ball that I've lost. But I've just developed over the years a unique scoring system some of you may want to adopt. As I'm out looking for my lost balls, if I've lost five balls on the day, and while I'm looking for those, I find three others, I consider myself two under for the day. So feel free to use that, and that's helped me feel better about my game. So now, theoretically, I could have become a pretty good golfer. I was a half-decent athlete in high school. I played my high school basketball team. I played volleyball and a club team in university. My dad was a member of a country club, so I could play for free as much as I wanted. And my dad also offered to pay for free golf lessons. And so, it's possible that I possibly could have become a pretty decent golfer. But I lacked one really important factor that kept me from accomplishing that goal: intentionality. You see, I wasn't going to become a good golfer because I had no intention of becoming a good golfer. In many parts of our lives, we take intentionality for granted. When I'm hungry, I will do everything I can to go find some food. When I'm driving down the 401 and we're somewhere, far away from gas, and I start to see the gas gauge getting close to empty, I'm going to become very intentional about finding a gas station somewhere. And when my beloved Baylor Bears are playing in basketball or football, I will do whatever I can to find a way to watch that game online or on TV somewhere. So we all understand intentionality. And I work with a lot of successful marketplace leaders. And what I found is one of the common denominators I find in every successful marketplace leader is that they are incredibly intentional about just about everything they do. For example, these leaders are intentional about how they manage their time. They're intentional about how they manage their money. They're intentional about continually improving themselves and in their leadership through podcasts and courses and listening to different speakers or reading different books. They're intentional about growing their company's market share, building their brand, and outsmarting the competition. And unlike me, many of them are intentional about improving their golf games. But one of the most surprising discoveries that I found in the last 20 years as I've been working with marketplace leaders is these people who have a high level of intentionality in virtually every area of their lives actually have very little intentionality when it comes to growing in their faith or having any kind of a ministry impact. So when these leaders will tell you that they desire to know God, to honor God, and to be used by God, and they'll be regular in church attendance, they'll live good moral lives, and they might even give some money to the church. But the focused intentionality that marks their work lives is often absent in their spiritual lives. I found that, in general, marketplace leaders are strategic and focused and driven, passionate, innovative, and when they're in the workplace. They have goals around their career path, their retirement, their travel plans. But then many of them will kind of shut off that side of their brain when it comes to ministry stuff, when it comes to the relationship with God. And few of them have any kind of clear spiritual or ministry goals over their lifetime. Well, this morning I want to talk about kingdom intentionality. And the principles I will share will be applicable to everyone here. They apply right across the board. But specifically, I'm going to be addressing marketplace leaders today because that's the primary focus of our ministry, or my ministry in particular. But also in this coming months, this church plans on launching a marketplace ministry. So we wanted to use this to kind of set things up. So now when we look at scripture, we can see that intentionality everywhere. From the beginning of time, God put together this brilliant master strategic plan that was very intentional, that was going to ultimately help impact the world. I mean, he intentionally arranged Old Testament prophecies and history to align together so that we could see that Jesus is actually the coming Messiah and that he is God. Jesus was intentional about using everyday situations to teach and provide spiritual lessons, like the parable of the lost coin or the lost sheep or the parable of the soils. He was very intentional about using his surroundings to help people grow. He was intentional about choosing 12 men who he was going to invest in to be his disciples and to equip them to become multiplying disciples who would ultimately impact the world. And he intentionally allowed himself to be arrested and then crucified so that he could pay for our sins and then prove that he is God by rising from the dead. The Apostle Paul, he was also intentional. He was intentional about targeting major cities so he could strategically advance the gospel in a really significant way. And he was intentional about starting in the synagogues, but then if there was an interest there, he would move very quickly to the Gentiles so that he could advance into that area as well. And finally, he was intentional about equipping Timothy to become a multiplying disciple himself. And we see his instructions to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2. First, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. He says this, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is that is Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others." So this is a really good strategic plan that Paul was putting out. Come to know, make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, and you can have a massive impact. But then he gives some examples for Timothy to follow. He says this, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. And the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." So the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, these guys are incredibly intentional in what they do. And if they're not, they fail. They're not able to have any level of success. And so Paul is using these examples to remind Timothy and us to live our lives with a high level of kingdom intentionality. Another example of intentionality is found in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 26. Here he says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." And you know, if you've ever watched a 5K run or participated in a 5K run, there's really two types of runners. There's a lot of people that are just kind of coasting through and hoping to, just go through the experience, get the t-shirt. They'll leisurely jog or they'll walk every once in a while. But then there's a group of people over here who are running with intentionality. They're running to win the race, to better their times, to prepare themselves for a bigger race. Unfortunately, I think that most Christians, we kind of run the race like that first group of people. We just kind of coast through. We do some things that are good, but not always as intentional as we are in other aspects of our lives. Well, I believe that God has called us intentionally to live our lives for his glory and to trust him for significant fruit and spiritual impact around the world. And to do that, I want to highlight five areas where we can live with a greater kingdom intentionality. So the first area of kingdom intentionality is to be intentional about developing a clearly defined kingdom vision. So what do I mean by that? Well, most successful companies have a very clearly defined mission and vision of how they want their company to ultimately succeed. So a kingdom vision is similar to that, except that it's ultimately focused on kingdom priorities. So it's an overarching vision of your life of how you want to see God use you over your lifetime to have an impact on the world for Jesus. And another way of saying this is it's a life purpose, but it's a life purpose that's really focused on kingdom priorities and eternal priorities. And a clear life purpose really helps you determine kind of your activities and your priorities throughout the day. This drawing up here is just a very simple explanation. The X represent kind of your ultimate kingdom vision. This is what I want to achieve. And those lines on either side, those are the parameters that kind of describe the activities that are going to help you accomplish your purpose. For those of you in business, you understand this. We're only going to invest our time and energy in the things that are going to help propel us towards achieving our goals. But let me give you an example from basketball, LeBron James. So let's say LeBron James decides that his goal is to become the greatest basketball player of all time. And so he's aiming up there, and if he, within the parameters, there are going to be things like working out with weights, being in good condition, practicing his jump shot, studying film, things like that. But let's say LeBron decides he's going to take up gardening or he wants to get into knitting. These are good things. Probably not going to help him towards his goal of becoming the greatest basketball player of all time. And you see, I think those of us who really want to see God use us to have a great kingdom impact and live with that kingdom intentionality, we're going to try to live our lives and choose to do things that are within those parameters to help us be most effective. You can see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. I believe that Paul's kingdom vision is actually captured in two different passages. Romans 15, 20 and 21, he says this: "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." And the second passage is, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." So you look at Paul's life, you see two different aspects of it. One, he wants to get the gospel and plant churches in places where no one's ever heard the gospel before. And second one, he wants to help develop fully formed followers of Jesus. And his entire life is focused around those two things. Let me give you a couple examples from today's marketplace leaders, some marketplace leaders who are living with that same level of intentionality. A man by the name of David Green launched a company called Hobby Lobby. Some of you guys may be familiar with it. It's down in the States and the largest arts and crafts company, I believe, in the world. And recently I heard an interview with him, and he said that the purpose of our company is to make money so that we can fund Christianity and Christian ministries around the world. Let me say that again. The purpose of their company is to generate money so that they can fund Christianity and Christian ministry around the world. That's a very clear intentionality. In fact, they give away half their profits. Half their profits is used to running the business. Half their profits is used to advance kingdom work. And in recent years, they've given away about $3 billion a year. This is a company that's very clear on their kingdom vision. Another example is Truett Cathy. Some of you guys are big fans of Chick-fil-A, and you may rush out there after I've talked about this after today's sermon. But you know, he has a vision of honoring, he had a vision of honoring God with his company. And so he chose to close his restaurants on Sundays. For fast food, that's crazy. But he says, no, we want to honor God, so we're going to close our restaurants on Sundays. Also, they also give incredibly generously out of their profits. And very interestingly, they've actually developed an international missions arm where people in their corporate office can go and have their missions trip subsidized to go on some of their vacation days to go and share the gospel in other countries. That's pretty cool. Those are two guys who have lived alive with significant kingdom intentionality. So let me ask you a question. What's your kingdom vision? What are you trusting God for over the next 20, 30, 40 years? What do you want to see God do in and through you? Joanne and I, one of the primary focuses of our ministry with Multiplied Impact is helping men and women develop a kingdom vision. And then helping them develop a plan to accomplish that. So let me give some examples of some of the kingdom visions of some of the men that I'm working with. So one guy I work with, his name is Dallas, and his kingdom vision is helping Christian charities with their technology and strategic planning needs. Another one is John. John wants to invest in and spiritually mentor young entrepreneurs, specifically in the tech space. My friend Calvin, he wants to deliver the gospel to the very least reached peoples on the planet, and he's working his life to make a way for that to happen. My friend Derek just wants to give away a ton of money. That's his vision. And my friend Eddie, he's a financial advisor to high net worth individuals. His kingdom vision is to introduce wealthy people to Jesus and to help release their resources for kingdom purposes. These guys are living with this greater kingdom intentionality now, and they will all tell you their life has much more significance, meaning, and joy as they've started living their lives with that level of intentionality. And just as a quick aside, People with a clear kingdom vision rarely deal with midlife crises because their lives are significant from start to finish. So the first key to kingdom intentionality is to develop a clearly defined kingdom vision. The second key to kingdom intentionality is to be strategically intentional with your prayer life. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So let me ask you a question. How could you be intentional about integrating prayer more into your business? For example, how many of you in the marketplace are intentional about praying for your revenue goals or your sales goals or even your profitability? How many of you are being intentional about praying for potential hires or specific deals to close? Some people, some leaders I talk to are kind of uncomfortable about this. They're like, well, that's my business world. I don't want to ask Jesus for money. Well, no, Jesus wants to be part of every part of our lives. In fact, Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." And so God is intimately interested in what you're doing. And in fact, what a fantastic way to invite Jesus in as a business partner in your ministry, to invite him to help you to hit some of your business goals. A few years ago, I was working with a young guy by the name of Arthur, and his company was just starting, and they had about $400,000 in revenues during the year. And I said, hey, let's, you and I together, let's commit to praying for a revenue goal for this next year. What would you like to see hit as a revenue goal? And he says, well, we're at $400,000 this year. I'd like to see if we could get to $1 million this year. He says, it'd be a stretch, but you know, if God answers our prayers, then yeah, I believe that can happen. Okay, great. So we started praying. In November, I get together. How's it going? Now we came a little bit short. You know, I don't think we're going to hit it. And I said, well, that's fine. We'll keep praying. He says, I had a good year. So then we get together in January. He says, you're not going to believe this. We ran our numbers, and at the end of the year, our revenues hit $1,070,000. That was so cool. And so, you know, we'll talk more about him in a bit, but he gives God the glory for the success of his business. And he has a very specific answer to prayer where God showed up to meet that business need. We can also be strategically intentional about praying what I call kingdom advancing prayers. So in Acts 4, Peter and John are arrested for sharing the gospel. They're threatened and then they're let go. And then this is how they prayed in verses 29 to 31. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So it was interesting. They're in jail. They weren't just praying to get released from jail or they got out of jail. They weren't just praying that this would stop or the persecution would stop. They're praying, God, advance your kingdom. Move your work ahead. And I love that. I like to think of that those are intentional kingdom advancing prayers. And I like to think of what I call both offensive and defensive prayers. So when I think of defensive prayers, these are both important. Defensive prayers are things like praying for the health of somebody you know and love, or praying for safety when you're traveling, or when you're going to have dinner, praying over your meal and praying there's no salmonella in it or whatever. And so, but offensive prayers, these are different. Offensive prayers are focused on advancing God's work, seeing people come to know Jesus, seeing the expansion of the church around the world. You know, I've got a friend of mine named Terry, and he runs a medium-sized business, and he's been very successful, and he actually regularly prays both of those types of prayers, both with his employees and for his employees. So he prays with his employees that they would actually, be able to deal with health issues or family issues that are going on, and so he's regularly in their lives doing that. But he also prays for his employees, that they would come to know Jesus. And virtually every time I talk to Terry, there's someone else in his company who's come to faith or who's starting to really take significant steps in their faith. And I love that. So how could you become more intentional about praying with and for the employees of your company? I've got a friend of mine named Robert who runs a large retail outlet, and he's run this for about 30 years, very successful guy. And he told me recently, at my encouragement, for the first time, he actually prayed with one of his employees. And he was just giddy about it. He says, Greg, I decided to ask if I could pray for this person. And then afterwards, I got a chance to start sharing my faith with them and tell the gospel to them. And I think this person's ready to receive Christ. And I was like, that's amazing. And so it's so cool to see as he started living with a greater intentionality to pray for his employees what God can do in their lives. Two years ago, I had two friends of mine, a couple of guys I was discipling, and I said, hey, what would happen if you guys started praying with some other believers in your company that God would actually bring people to Christ. And they're like, okay, we like this. So they started meeting together and praying. They found a few other Christians and they said, God, could you allow people to come to Christ? Well, in the last 18 months, both of those companies have seen people that have come to Christ. And I started asking myself the question, what would happen if every company in Canada had Christians who are committed to praying? Some of those offensive prayers, God, allow more people to come to know Jesus. Help some of our clients become followers of Jesus. Help my boss to come to know Jesus. One of the other things I forgot to mention is that one of these companies actually started a Christian study group that's called Christians At, in the name of the company. And I love that. A few years ago, you wouldn't have heard anything about faith in this company. And now there's a whole group of people meeting, both Christians and non-Christians, exploring faith issues. I love that. What would happen if every school in Canada had a group of teachers and administrators and volunteers praying for kids and other faculty to come to know Jesus? What would happen if every hospital in Canada had a group of doctors and nurses and different volunteers and administrators getting together to pray that not only people would be healthy in the hospital and would survive, but that families would encounter Jesus and that doctors and administrators would become followers of Jesus as a result of that? I'd love to see that happen, if God could use people like this to start launching these types of movements. What if your church, as a church, began to intentionally pray for leaders and employees of every business within a 5-kilometer radius? What if you started praying for the employees and leaders of Walmart or Tim Hortons or Staples or Marshalls or Toys R Us, that these people would get a chance to know Jesus? What if you started praying for some of these big warehouses here, PACCAR and BMW and IKEA, that not only would they, you know, that people's hearts would be open and that you'd have employees from that be part of this church in the next few years? Strategically intentional prayers. How could you become more intentional about praying for some personal kingdom goals? Many of you have all kinds of goals around your life, financial, whatever. You have all kinds of goals. Do you have spiritual goals? One of my spiritual goals is for God to allow me. My kingdom vision is about having a maximum impact on the world. God, I want to help impact like a billion people all over the world. It's totally impossible, but you're the God of the impossible, so that's what I'm going to invite you to do. So I start asking these things, and I've said, God, I'd like to be involved in mobilizing resources so that we could have a kingdom impact on the millions of people, actually billions of people, who've never heard the gospel once. So I've been praying that for years, and God's allowed me to be part of 3 different foundations that are giving away about millions of dollars every year to help fund evangelism and helping share the gospel in some of these least reached parts of the world. So the second thing I want to encourage you is to be strategically intentional with your prayer life. A third area of kingdom intentionality is to be intentional with your skills and gifts for kingdom purposes. And so, virtually every one of us chooses a job or a career based on what our interests are and what type of skills and gifts we have, right? That just makes sense. But I find it very rare that people start thinking about how can I use those skills for kingdom purposes? It says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 18 to 20. But in fact, God has placed the parts in everybody, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As is, there are many parts, but one body. Another way of saying this is that every skill or ability needed for God to accomplish his global purposes currently exists within the body of Christ and are waiting to be unleashed for him to use them for great kingdom impact. So for example, are you good at, say, teaching or training or maybe leadership development? Well, God could really use you in a way of discipling other men and women and helping them to grow as followers of Jesus. Some of you guys have gifts in the areas of organization or administration, or you're really strong at developing efficiencies at work. I possess none of those gifts, and so I need people like you in my life that are gonna help me be more effective on the administration side. And also, some of you guys are pretty good at sales and marketing. Well, some of those gifts could be used to help the church promote some of the programs you're involved. Or maybe your gifts of persuasion could be used to gently guide people more towards beginning a personal relationship with Jesus. See, all of those gifts you've got, they could be unleashed for kingdom purposes. I've got a friend of mine named Calvin, and he runs a successful tech company. And so he does a lot of consulting with different businesses. And so he actually decided on a kingdom vision to help charities meet their technology needs. So he consults with several charities. In fact, he's gone so far where he actually sold a portion of his business so he can set aside a day a week to serve these ministries to help them be more effective with their technology needs. And so be intentional with your gifts and your skills for kingdom purposes. A fourth area of intentionality is to be intentional with your relationships and your hobbies. And so John 1:40-42 says this, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. So Andrew is also the guy. So not only did Andrew bring Peter along, and Peter obviously became the leader of the early church, but then he was able to be the guy who found the little kid who carried around the fish and the loaves that Jesus was able to use to start, you know, distributing and committing, doing one of his big miracles. And so you got a guy here named Andrew whose skill really is connecting with people. He's a good people person, loves people, loves to make connections, and he used that for kingdom purposes. And I love to see those types of things exercised. One of the best books I've read in recent years is a book called How to Talk About Jesus Without Being That Guy. And so love the title of the book, first of all. Sam Chan's done a great job, but he's really given some great tips. And one of the things he talks about is this really simple but brilliant idea of merging your universes. He says this, when my Christian friends went out to the movies, they also invited my non-Christian doctor friends and vice versa. After 2 years, we had merged our universes. After 2 years, all three of my junior doctor friends gave their lives to Christ. They had entered into a community of believers. I love that. So simple, right? Let's just invite our friends over and put these two worlds together. Often we have our church group and we've got our church friends and our work friends and we kind of leave them apart. Bring them together. And I've got a friend of mine named David who attends here who does this really well. David loves golf and he loves people. And so he's just the last couple years been very much intentional about he and a buddy inviting some other people who don't know Jesus or don't have a church background and inviting them to go golfing. And then through that, now they're beginning some really good relationships with some people. He's also invited these friends to Raptors games just to kind of have some fun, you know, do some stuff together to hang out and just build a relationship that way. I've got another friend of mine named Ruben who's out in Southern California or Northern California, and he and his wife love hosting dinner parties. They're really good connecting. Both of them are really good at connecting with people. And so they've decided that every month they're going to host a dinner party where they have both church attendees and non-church attendees to join them together. And they're going to say, which of these people we think will get along well? So they bring them together. And so every month they're going to start doing this, living with that kingdom intentionality. So be intentional with your relationships and your hobbies. The final area I want to encourage you is to be intentional with what I call your investment horizon. So for many years, one of my hobbies has been investing in the stock market. I love researching stocks and looking into companies that are doing innovative stuff. And unfortunately, I'm not really that good at it, so don't ask me for any investment advice. But I love doing it. So a few years ago, I actually turned over most of my investments to a professional investment advisor. Now, if you've ever sat down with a financial advisor, one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, what is your investment horizon? Are you saving up for retirement? When do you want to retire? Are you saving for a car or a home or some kind of a holiday? What are you trying to do? They will help you develop that investment. A wise investment advisor will use your investment horizon as a strategy to determine how he wants to help advise you and what you're investing in. But a person who lives with kingdom intentionality will have a different investment horizon. Our investment horizon is eternity. And so a good question to ask around an investment horizon is this. 150 years from now, when I'm dead and I'm with Jesus and I'm in heaven, what kind of a return on investment am I looking for? How do I want to invest my time, my talent, and my treasure now so that 150 years from now, I'm getting the greatest benefit for the next billion years or so? That's the kind of investment horizon that I think we need to aim for. And Jesus told us to do this in Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this is just good investment advice. He's just saying, look, if you invest in this stuff here, it's gonna go away. But you invest in stuff in eternity, it's going to be there for eternity. My friend Carl gets this. He sold his first business when he was about 31 years old. Very successful guy. And he said after he sold that, he says, I never have to work again. He just said, I've done very well in the sale of this business. And so about a year later, he goes back to work for a large company, gets a really nice salary there, decides, you know what, I want to go back and do my own thing again, starts another business. After his first year, he makes about $1 million in revenue. So this guy's done really well. And what's interesting about this guy is that he and his family of four live in a townhouse. Well, Carl, why do you live in a townhouse? You sold your business for millions of dollars and you generate hundreds of thousands every year. He says, well, we could, but our investment horizon is eternity. And we want to free up more money so we can give more money away for kingdom purposes. I love that. I love that intentionality. I mentioned my friend Arthur earlier, the guy who set the $1 million goal. And his kingdom vision is around giving away massive amounts of money for kingdom purposes. He says, I get jacked about giving away money. I love that statement. And a few years ago, he sold his business for several $1 million. But before he sold it, he had committed to giving away 50% of whatever he made on the sale of that business. And now he's got to set aside several $1 million that's being deployed for kingdom purposes. These guys have an eternal investment horizon. But in addition to our finances, we can be intentional with the investment horizon of our time and our talent. I got a friend named Mark. He runs a large business, and he's run it for many years. And he's a great recruiter, wonderful people person, great organizer. And every year, for probably the last 15 or so years, he's been organizing a trip for men from his church where they go down to Jamaica and they serve with a ministry down there working with at-risk youth. And it's been life-changing for many of the guys who've gone on that trip. And in the past several years, he's added a second trip. And this trip is actually funded by the company. He takes company profits where he sends employees, whether they have a church background or not, down to Jamaica where they're involved in some school builds to help, again, some impoverished communities. This is a guy that's living with kingdom intentionality. You know, in 2007, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman started a movie called The Bucket List. And that phrase has become embedded into our culture. And everyone's talking about, oh, what's your bucket list? What do you want to have on there? And that's a really fun thing. But what would your bucket list look like if you added a level of kingdom intentionality around it? So for example, you're saying, you know what? I'm going to go, you know, what if you said, hey, my bucket list is to go visit missionaries in that I've supported before. Or my bucket list is going to go meet some of the orphans that we sponsored with Compassion. And then what you do is you plan the holiday first and you go over to that part of the world to see some really cool things. But then while you're there, then you can do some other bucket list stuff, go on a safari, whatever, things like that. Or let's say you're like, hey, I really want to go on a safari, but I don't know anybody in that part of the world. Well, you start praying, God, are there other ministries that I can meet there? Are there missionaries I could connect? You could ask your pastor, hey, I'm going on a safari to Tanzania or Kenya or whatever, South Africa. Do you know anybody else I should meet while I'm over there? And just become intentional with using your holidays in a really kingdom significant way. You know, one of the guys I'm discipling, his name is John, and he's an optometrist, and he's done very well for himself. And this last January, he was going to visit his family in India. And so I said, you know, John, while you're going on this trip, how can you be intentional about having a kingdom impact in the country of India? And he says, I hadn't really thought about that. So we asked around and found out there was a village near where he was going to visit. He knew some people that were doing some ministry there. So he went over and, you know, did his optometry work with a bunch of these impoverished people. And he says, I got to share the gospel with people. I got to pray with people. He says, it's changed my life. I'm hooked. I'm going to go back again. And John's kingdom vision is really around how to mobilize medical professionals to have a kingdom impact around the world. And so this was kind of his first step, but he did it with intentionality, and now he wants to mobilize others. And I got to tell you guys, many of you have gifts. You're like, well, I'm not a doctor. What am I going to do? Well, maybe you have gifts in technology. Many of these ministries don't have any help in how to scale up or use technology in an effective way. Maybe you're good at strategic planning or basic management skills. All of these things can be used to help advance God's work around the world. So just want to encourage you to be intentional with your investing your time, your talent, and your treasure for kingdom purposes with an eternal investment horizon. Well, I said at the beginning of this talk that one of my objectives at this time is to help this church launch a marketplace ministry. And what I'm really excited about is I know you guys already have vocational groups around education and medicine, and that's awesome. And I just want to encourage you guys, keep going on that. But they also want to be able to start a vocational group around marketplace people. And so we'll talk more about that a little bit. Chris will mention it in a bit here. But I want to talk briefly about a second type of group that we're also hoping to launch here at Hope Mississauga, and that is a multiplied impact group. So my wife and I launched Multiplied Impact Groups a few years ago, and the purpose, they're designed to be high challenge, high commitment, faith stretching, and vision expanding. And in these groups, what we do is we help leaders to develop and act on a God-sized kingdom vision leading to a global impact. And then what we do is we help them be intentional in taking steps of faith in three areas that scare just about all of us, and that's evangelism, missions, and generosity. And so we have set up this these small groups to be intentionally uncomfortable, because I find that when I'm uncomfortable, that's when I need to trust the Lord more. And so that's what we've designed these groups to do. My wife and I are equal in taking steps of faith ourselves, so we can be stretched in our faith because we want to keep growing for the rest of our lives. So these groups meet monthly for a couple of hours, and then there are monthly one-on-one meetings where the leader will help participants develop their kingdom vision and then a strategy to live that kingdom vision out. As I said, we're looking to launch one here. There's a member of the church here who's going to be giving some leadership to that. So if any of you are looking to be pushed and challenged and you're just like, I want to be stretched in my faith and want to have a big impact, come talk to us afterwards. We'll be in the back and we can share more about that. But we're going to be launching both groups. Some people are saying, you know what? I just need to be around some other believers to get some good community and some encouragement. That's great. And we want to encourage you to take part in that vocational group. We're not sure who's going to lead that yet, and we're praying that God raises up the right person to lead that vocational group for Marketplace, but then a multiplied impact group for those of you who really want to get pushed out of your comfort zone.